before I start this topic, because we're talking about healing, correct? I'm in the right class, right? So we're not talking about prayer. We're not talking about finances. What are we talking about? Healing, right? Now, the interesting thing about this subject, outside of salvation, healing is the second most important thing that Jesus came proclaiming and demonstrating. Amen? And I just want to share you a little story to lead into this. You know, I got saved in a denominational church. You know, and they loved the Lord. They believed the tenets of faith, you know, the Bible. You know, they didn't dabble into baptism of the Holy Spirit and all that other. They kind of left that. They kind of told us, well, we leave that to the other group, you know. But they were good people. So anyway, they had one of the itinerary ministers. He was an evangelist, okay? And he had a powerful testimony, winning souls for Christ. He was a Muslim and converted to Christianity. And in fact, it got to the point where his family found out about his, you know, his profession of faith in Christ, that they told him to stop, to be quiet. And he said, I cannot be quiet. I must talk about my Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, right? So now it's in this country that he came from. So he's not here. He's in the country that he came from. So one night, his family members and some other men, because they were Muslims, they came in and grabbed him, took him out into the woods, stripped him down, hung him upside down, started caning him and asking him, you know, now we want you to denounce Jesus. He said, I cannot denounce my Savior. And they kept beating him and beating him and beating him till he was like almost to a bloody pulp. They asked him again, we want you to deny Jesus. He said, I will not deny my Christ, right? So finally, what one of the men did, they had a hammer, like a sledgehammer. So they hit him on this side of his hip, and they hit him on this side to cripple him. And they thought he was dead, so they left him for dead. So they left him, he was in the jungle, they left him for dead. They thought he was dead, but he was alive. And he had a powerful testimony. And he had a love and passion for God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a result of that situation, he was what? Crippled. So he would come to the pulpit, like on walking things, you know, and he would get there and he would share. Now, once again, I had so much respect. And I just told you about this person, and you know too. Wow, what conviction. What love does this man have for proclaiming our Lord Jesus Christ? But then he said one thing. Now remember, I was a young Christian. I was, you know, just new in these things, and I was in the congregation, and he said something. He said this. He said, I asked the Lord to heal me of this, and God said no. Now here's what happened. I'm new at this. See, I'm new. This is the only church I knew. I didn't know any other churches. But it was like when he said that, something just didn't settle right. I can't explain. You ever went somewhere and ate something, and all of a sudden, it just didn't feel right, right? So where did you was going to go? Where's your next move? Your next move was going to go to the, hopefully you get rid of it. Well, anyway, all that time, I thought about that. I said, here's a man that had a powerful testimony, a man who loved Jesus, a man who, in this denomination, was, you might as well say, one of the premier speakers, evangelists in this group. But he made that statement. It was something about that statement that bothered me. You know, I just wondered about it. And that's a statement that a lot of Christians run into. A lot of us run into that. A lot of us have heard about people who love God, people whose commitment to God, their love for Jesus, their love for the Word, but then sickness, they succumbed to sickness and died. Now, here's what happens. Real quick, remember, I'm going back to the denominational church. I'm not talking about a Word of Faith church. In the denominational church, what we began to do was this. Well, if God didn't heal brother so-and-so, maybe he's not going to heal me. Okay, now, coming over to this camp. Now, when I came over to this camp, you know, the Word of God says, right, by his stripes, we're healed. But then I see people succumb to sickness, succumb to disease. So the question tonight that I'm going to pose to you and what we're going to study tonight is the question of this, is healing for everyone? Jackie, my A student, don't get ahead of me. But the question is this, is healing for everyone? Now, that's a question that across the whole body of Christ, that's a question that's asked to every prominent minister. They asked that to Billy Graham. They asked that to Oral Roberts. They asked that to T.D. Jakes. They asked that to everybody. Why are some people not healed? They even asked that to Catherine Kuhlman, who was a part of the healing of evangelism outpourings in the early in the 40s and 50s and 60s. She was a healing. She ministered with the healing anointing. And they asked her that question, too. Benny Hinn. But the question we're going to ask tonight is healing for all? Now, before we answer that, we're going to have to do some things. So I want you to put this on your little checklist. We are not going to consult with our own opinions or experiences. Like, remember, I just shared with you that one about that person, right? We are not going to consult with other ministries' opinions, okay? We are not going to consult with items trending on the social media platforms, okay? Because if we Google this, it's healing for everybody. Boom, everything's going to pop all over the place, right? But we're not going to consult with those. We are not going to consult with the major news media as well. We are going to examine this subject from one source only. And guess what that source is? The Word of God, the Bible. So now we're going to look into this Bible, okay? What I want you, did you bring your Bible tonight? I want you, we're going to look into this Bible and we're going to ask that question. Right now we're asking the question, is healing for everyone, right? Now, Romans 10:17 says this. It says what? So then faith comes by what? Hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. Say that when you say Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, listen to what F.F. Bosworth said. F.F. Bosworth said this. He says, faith begins with where the will of God is known. Then he goes further. He says, faith must rest on the will of God alone, not on our desires or wishes. Appropriating faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. Let me say that again. Faith must rest on the will of God alone, not on our desires or wishes. Appropriating faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. Everyone got that? Now, some Christians are under the false notion that God is the author of sickness and disease, and that he's teaching his children something through sickness and disease. Now, how many of you have ever heard that? Or God's testing them, right? All right? But that's a lie, as we will examine tonight. But before we proceed any further, let's look into the Word of God to see exactly where did sickness and disease come from. Because if we know where it came from, then we know who's the source of it. Is that correct? Okay, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans, the book of Romans. And look at chapter 5. And we're going to take our time here. We got some time, right? Well, we got to about 7 o'clock. But I think we'll be done by then. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 12. Now, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church in Rome, right? Now, listen to what he says. He says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Now, who do you think Paul is referring to? He's referring to Adam. Adam was the first man, right? So it says here, by one man, sin did what? Enter into the world, but it didn't stop there. And death by sin. And so death passed upon who? All men, for that all have what? Sinned. Now let me read that same version in the complete Jewish Bible. It says it this way. It says, here is how it works. It was through one individual that sin entered into the world, and through sin, death. And in this way, death passed through to the whole human race, inasmuch as everyone sinned. Now, the one man we already established that was Adam. What did he do? He sinned, right? Adam and Eve both sinned, but he sinned. And as a result of that sin, what happened? Sin did what? Enter in. Now, let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. That's the book of beginnings, right? Let's look here and see what God said. Genesis chapter 2. And let's look at verses. We're going to look at verses 15 through 17. Okay. Are you there? And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day that thou eatest therein, thou shalt what? Surely die. Now we know if we look at that word die in the Hebrew, what it really meant was, it didn't mean if you eat the fruit, you're going to die. But it means dying, you're going to die. That's what Hebrew means. It meant the Hebrew translation of that said, in dying, you shall die. So now, let's keep on going further in this story, right? Turn to Genesis chapter 3, because I'm moving past the story. We're all familiar with Adam and Eve and how the serpent, you know, tricked Eve, but Adam disobeyed, right? Eve was deceived, Adam disobeyed, but they both sinned. Everyone got that? So no one's to blame. So men shouldn't be blaming women, and women shouldn't be blaming men, right? It was a sin problem, right? Had nothing to do with our genders. Now look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Now this is when they've already partaken of the fruit, right? Now notice they partook of fruit, not an apple. Remember, everybody always thinks Adam took an apple, right? But it wasn't an apple, it was a fruit, right? But now let's pick up where they already partook. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat it. So now here, right quick, God knew where Adam was. When God said, where are you, Adam, where are you? He just wanted Adam to locate himself. God knew where he was, but he wanted Adam to locate himself. But what did Adam say? He said he was what? He was afraid. Fear. So what does that tell us? Sin entered into the world. The moment Adam disobeyed God, that split second that he disobeyed God, sin entered into the world right at that point in time. Why? Because what was Adam's response? I was afraid and I hid. Then his next response was, and I was naked. Now, let me ask you this. Think about this for a moment. I always thought, when I used to hear this story as a kid, and I never even went to church, but I always thought, you know, because I looked at it figuratively. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and I thought they were blind. Because remember, it says his eyes were open, right? So I'm thinking they're naked, walking around blind, you know. So here's what God said. God said, who told you you were naked, right? So in other words, this is letting us know that something was removed from Adam. Adam was clothed. Adam and Eve was clothed with something. They had a clothing, which was the glory of God. The glory of God was on Adam and Eve, because remember, the Bible says that Adam was made in the image and likeness of God. God has a body. God has motions. But God is a spirit. So God had a physical, but his body was clothed with the glory of God. So when God moved Adam into the garden, Adam and Eve into the garden, they were really clothed with the glory of God. So that's why the moment Adam sinned, disobeyed God, sin entered in, fear came in, and the glory departed. He looked, wow, I'm naked. Because up until that point, he had on what? They were robed with the glory of God. Everyone got that? Now, let's keep on moving in this story. I don't want to stay too long here. Now, so sin entered into the world. Now, keep this in mind. When sin entered into the world, the Bible calls that the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death began to operate. That's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. You don't have to turn there. Just keep it for reference. Christ has redeemed us from that law. The law of sin and death entered in. Now, let me show you what that law entailed. That law entailed three things. It was threefold. The law of sin and death introduced into the world poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. So on that day when Adam and Eve sinned, when they disobeyed God, they did die, but they died what? Spiritually. They were separated from God, but they were still living beings. But they were spiritually dead. So what happened? Fellowship was broken, right? So now keep in mind that something came into the world when Adam and Eve sinned. It was the law of sin and death. And in that law, there is what? Sickness. So now we found out where sickness and disease came from, right? Where did it come from? It came from the result of Adam and Eve's disobedience in the garden, okay? So I want you to keep that in mind. Now, turn in your Bible over to Exodus. Turn to Exodus chapter 23. We're talking about is healing for everyone. That's the subject we're talking about. Exodus chapter 23. We're looking in the Old Testament now, right? So we're going to start in the Old Testament. We're going to ask this question. Is it God's will to heal? But we're going to look right now in the Old Testament, okay? So turn to Exodus. Are you there? Exodus chapter 23. Look at verses 25 and 26. Are you there? Now, I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, so you read along with me with your version. Okay, are you ready? Now, let's see what he says. He says, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless," what? "Thy bread and thy water." And what does he say? "I will do" what? "Take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren. And in the land, and the number of thy days I will" what? "Fulfill." But notice what God said to the people of Israel. This is Jehovah talking to the children of Israel. He said, "I will do" what? "Take" what away from them? "Sickness away from the midst of them." So in other words, sickness was around them. But because they were in covenant with God, God said, I will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from you. So in other words, the children of Israel had a covenant right with God that he would take sickness out of them, from the midst of them, correct? Now turn back to Exodus. We're still in Exodus. Turn back to Exodus chapter 15. This is why God said that to them. But now let's go back to Exodus 15. I'm working from back forward. Now listen to what God says here, because he's still talking to the people, the children of Israel. And he said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes," that means his laws and judgments, "I will put" what? "None of these diseases upon thee, which I have" what? "Brought upon the Egyptians." Why? "For I am" what? "The Lord that healeth thee." Now here's where we have to rightly divide this. When the Bible was interpreted and broken down, the translators of this, they translated it as best they could, but they forgot about the Hebrew. The Hebrew has some tenses, okay? Here's what it should have said. You know where it says, I put none of these diseases upon thee? You see in your Bible, in the King James I'm reading, it says, "I have put none of these diseases upon thee." Really, the translators didn't translate that correctly. What it meant was this. This is how it should read. "I will not allow to come." You hear that? Because really it's the passive permissive. In other words, what in the Hebrew, what it was really was saying, they were under a covering. The covenant had them under a covering. They were under a covering. But the minute they stepped out from that covering, guess what was there to meet them? The sickness and disease. But now what God is saying is this. If you step out, remember he says, if you obey the words that I'm giving you, if you follow my law, if you follow my statutes, they're here, right? As they come out here, what's going to meet them if they don't obey? Sickness, disease. He says, I'm going to have to allow it. That's really the correct interpretation of that scriptural verse. And here's what Christianity and some of us done. Because we read this, God said he'll put none of these diseases upon them. He didn't say he's going to put any of those diseases upon them. What he really said was, I will not allow those diseases to come upon you because you're in covenant with me. Does everyone see that? Okay, but we have to know how to rightly divide that. Because if you don't know how to rightly divide that, then you'll think, well, God put those diseases upon him. Because after all, he just said it right there, right? But that's not what he says. But then he goes further. He says, I will not put any diseases upon you, which he put upon who? The Egyptians. Now, why were those diseases coming upon the Egyptians? My Bible students are here. They were not under the covering, but also what were they doing to the children of Israel? Remember the Ten Commandments? Remember Moses? Remember the judgments? Because they were coming against God. They were resisting God. So when they were resisting God, really, they brought those things upon themselves. So that's why God says the diseases that you see coming upon the Egyptians, that's people who don't have a covenant. He said, what am I going to do? I'm not going to allow them to come upon you. And he tells you why, because he reveals himself to them by saying what? For I am what? The Lord that healeth thee. Say that. Say, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, Israel knew him as Jehovah. So they knew him as Jehovah Rapha. So every time they said Jehovah Rapha, they knew it is how God revealed himself. So in the Old Testament, God revealed himself as who? The Lord that does what? That heals. Okay? Everyone see that? So here's what I want us to understand. In the Old Testament, God reveals himself to his covenant people as the Lord who heals. Now turn to your Bibles to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. The 103rd Psalm, and the 103rd Psalm is really a songbook. So whenever you think of the Psalms, you should think of it as a songbook, a praise book, okay? Now, what I want us to do is let's read verses 1 through 5 together, amen? Now, I'm reading from the King James. Read with whatever translation you have, but I want everybody to be reading this because what we're talking about is healing for everyone, and right now we're looking at it in the Old Testament, right? And now we're allowing the word of God to make this case for us. Amen? So is everyone there? Psalm 103? Let's begin reading. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Ooh, hold it. Benefits. You hear that? Benefits. How many of you work on a job? Well, how many used to work on a job, right? And what's the first thing they used to tell you when you worked on that job? And the people at HR were so happy to tell you. They wanted to tell you about what? The benefits. So in other words, the benefits you would have because of your association with that job. But notice what the psalmist is saying. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what? All his benefits. So in other words, there's a possibility we can forget his benefits. Or I'm going to make it natural. I'm going to hit home with this. Some of us could be on jobs or in associations that have benefits with it. But guess what? Those benefits can be there for you. But what do you have to do in order to receive those benefits? What do you have to do? You keep working? But what else? If I have a benefit, right? If I'm on a job, and let's say the medical benefit, right? I'm going to go see the doctor for my annual exam. What is the first thing they ask you for? Your insurance, because your insurance is connected with what? Your benefits. But now here's what happened. If you never produce that card, are you gonna benefit from that? No. So in other words, in order for us to benefit from our benefits, we have to do what? We have to believe in them. We have to act on them. You have to act on it. If you're here on your job, hey, listen, because you're associated with this job, all you got to do is take this piece of paper up to HR, and you're going to get $10,000. Now, here's what some people do. If you hear that, but what are you going to have to do? Put some action to it, right? Then when you put some action to it, you want to see if it's valid, right? But let's go back to this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, let's listen to the benefits. Who forgiveth what? All thy iniquities. So in other words, that means, see, everybody says nobody's perfect. Well, nobody is in the natural. But here's what I want to say. All of us got mistakes. All of us have miscues. All of us are learning and growing, right? So God looks at us and he sees our faults. He sees where we're falling short. That's our iniquity. But here's what he says. He forgives what? All our iniquities. So in other words, when we stand before God, because we're in covenant with him, we're what? Perfect. Perfect, okay? He forgives all of our iniquities. Who does what? Heals what? Some of our diseases. Only a few. Only what Medicaid can cover. Only what Medicare can cover. All of our diseases. So in other words, cancer. He heals us from cancer, correct? He heals us from Alzheimer's. Is that correct? He heals us from any other unknown drug. The Ebola plague. He heals us from that, right? But what do we have to do? We have to tap into our benefit. And as the psalmist said here, don't forget our benefits, right? Okay, let's keep on going. Who redeemeth our life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now let me read that from, no, I'll just leave it there. So benefits, as I shared with you before, benefits, in order for us to enjoy the benefits, we're going to have to do an act on them. Everyone agreed? Now, let's keep on going. Turn to Psalm 105. Because we're still talking about the Old Testament. Is it God's will to heal, right? Now, in the Old Testament, Psalm 105, look at verse 37. Verse 37 of Psalm 105. Now, this is really God through Moses, right? This is a psalm that God is giving Moses, and he's giving accounts of them in the wilderness, right? Or Israel as well, not before they went into the wilderness. He brought them forth also with what? Silver and gold. And there was not what? One feeble person among their tribes. Now, let me read that same verse in the Living Bible. It says it this way, Psalm 105, verse 37. And he brought his people safely out from Egypt, loaded with silver and gold. There were no sick and feeble folk among them then. Now, I want you to picture this. Imagine this. Imagine about 7 million people. Because, you know, I'm going back to the movie, The Ten Commandments. Remember, that's the one we saw on TV, remember? When they're all there and Moses lifts up the staff and they're all going out and the music's going ta-dun-ta-dun and they're all going out. There was about 7 million people. Now, I want you to think about this. 7 million people coming out of Egyptian bondage that the Egyptians, they gave them the money to get out of town. In other words, they gave them, you know, what are they talking about, reparations? You're in the news today, they're talking about slavery, reparations. That ain't going to happen. But what happened here was, this was reparations for 400 years of Egyptian bondage. Now the Egyptians are giving them silver and gold. They can hardly carry it all out. So 7 million people leaving Egypt and not one feeble person among them. If we were to round up 7 million people right now, I'll use New York City. Okay, New York City. New York City has about 7 million people in about that, right? Out of that 7 million, there's going to be some feeble folk, right? Would you agree? But notice the covenant that God had with his children Israel. There was not one feeble one among them. Now, people talking about health plans. I like to call it this, Jehovah's health plan. JHP, right? Jehovah's health plan. They left out with Jehovah's health plan. They had no co-pays. They remember, even in their disobedience, they wandered how long? 40 years. 40 years, and they were disobedient, but not one feeble folk. Now turn to Psalm 90, because we're still talking about is healing for everyone, right? Now based on that, is in the Old Testament, is healing for everyone? Did everyone receive it? Yes. Let's keep on going. Now turn to Psalm 90 because I want to show you something. I'm going to go off a little side journey here, but Spirit of God wants me to give you this side journey because we have to rightly divide this. Psalm 90, look at verse 10. Are you there? Is everyone there? Okay, now I'm going to read. Let's read this part. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, in this passage of Scripture, this is where people got the wrong idea, because according to this, now, I'm not good at math, 80 is what? 60, right? Plus 10 is what? 70. Now, according to this, 70 years, right? But then what happened? He tossed in something else too, right? He said, and a reason of strength, 80 years. So in other words, really 70 in Psalm 90, 70, but if you do pretty good, you're going to make it to, you're going to max out at 80, right? Now here's what happened. What happened is this. Everybody thinks that that's the age because the Bible says that. But here's what I want you to remember. Once again, you got to rightly divide things, because if you don't rightly divide them, and a lot of you have been around religious folks, they'll tell you, see, there it is, 80, and then we soon fly away, right? But if we rightly divide this, who was this psalm to, spoken to? The children of Israel. They were under what? The old covenant, right? But now follow this. They were in disobedience. So remember, they were in disobedience, and God told Joshua, right? That, and Joshua, Caleb, and all, he said, after this bunch dies out, then you're going to enter into the promised land. Remember, because they're disobedience? So here, that Psalm 90 was for disobedient folks. So here's the truth. The truth is, disobedient people can expect to live to 80 years old. How many of you are obedient? You try? You are obedient. You're here tonight, you're obedient. You're working on it, but we're all working on it, but we're obedient. Now, here's God's health plan for the obedient folk. Want me to show you it? Turn to Genesis. Turn back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. Remember, I told you we're going to get our information from the Word of God. Amen? Everyone got that? Genesis chapter 6. Are you with me? Okay. Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 3. Now, I want you to see this. Who's speaking here? God. Who was speaking in the Psalms? Moses. Moses. It was Moses. Moses said, because God told him their disobedience. But now here in Genesis, this is the book of beginnings, okay? Look at what God says here. Read it with me. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be what? 120 years. Say it again. Say 120. So in other words, you and I, our goal is to live to be 120. Now here's what's happening. I don't know if you're realizing it. If you're not realizing it, I looked at, you know, those old westerns on TV, you know, Maverick, Wagon Train, and all those kind of old westerns. They were made in the 50s, right? And they said, now listen, the cowboys are talking about, well, I ain't got much life in me to live. After all, I'm only 40 years old. I guess I'm over the hill. I'm saying, wait, 40? 40? And then if you look at them, they look like they were like 80. So here's what I'm saying. It was the mindset. But I'm going to tell you right now, today, if you notice, people are living longer. And insurance companies are getting upset about that. Because they expected you to die at 70. Because if you read Psalm 90, you're thinking, well, if God tarry 10 more years and we fly away. No, we're not supposed to fly away. The Bible says this about Moses. Moses was 120 years old when he died. And he wasn't feeble. He wasn't sick. He wasn't decrepit. It was his time. And God said, okay, you did your job. Come with me and come up. Turn everything over to Joshua. He laid hands on Joshua. He turned everything over to Joshua. God told Moses, come on up to the mountain. And Moses went to sleep. His life just, but at 120. Okay? So now what we did, I spent a lot of time here. I want you to see that it's always God's will to heal us. So in the Old Testament, I want to give you one example because I want to keep track of our time here. Turn over to Numbers 21. Numbers 21, we're still looking in the Old Testament, okay? So we're making a case here. Look, turn to Numbers. Deuteronomy, okay, Numbers 21. Now, let me give you a little backdrop because of time's sake, okay? This is an account with the children of Israel. They were complaining. Now, listen, things were getting so bad, according to them, they were complaining about God, and they started to complain about Moses. See, and here's what you got to remember. When we complain, guess who hears it? God heard it. So God heard their complaints, right? So let's see what happened, okay? Let's pick it up at verse 4, right? And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. In other words, they're complaining. Like, man, why we got to go this way? It's late, it's hot, my feet are hurting, right? And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up to Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. In other words, they were complaining about the manna. Okay? Now look what happened. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Now let me paint a picture for you once again. They were in the wilderness. They were in the desert. They were complaining. They didn't like their conditions. They didn't like what was coming down. So what happened? God did what? He sent. Here's what I want you to understand. Get back to this again. The translation of that is not really correct. Those serpents were always there, but they were under his covering. So as they were walking in the desert, the serpents just had to move out of the way. So what happened was the Lord sent. It did say the Lord sent, but really what it meant was the Lord allowed. See, when they murmured, they came out from under the covering. And God allowed those serpents to bite them. And what was happening? They were dying. There was death in the camp, right? But listen to what happens, verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses. Now here it is. They're complaining about him, right? It's kind of like what happens to pastors sometimes. You know, people complain to God. And they complain about their pastors, right? I know none of you don't, but some people do. Then when the stuff hits the fan, they're the first person they want to get on the phone. The first person they want them to visit them in the hospital is who? The pastor. So it's no different here. So they come into Pastor Moses, right? And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." Hear that? "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. Notice he said, Moses said, okay. See, Moses wasn't moved. They were moved because they were the ones complaining. Moses was still under the covering, right? So he said, okay, I'll pray. So let's see what happens. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that looks that is bitten, when he look upon it, he shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass. What was killing them? Fiery serpents, poisonous serpents, right? God instructed Moses to take the thing that was meant for their destruction, lift it up in their sight, and all those that looked at it, what was going to happen? They were going to be healed. Everyone see that? They were going to be healed, right? And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it up on a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, I want you to think about that because Jesus made reference to that in the Gospels. In John chapter 3, verse 14, when he was talking with Nicodemus, he says, "The Son of Man, as in the wilderness, as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, and all that looked to him would be saved," he says, "so must the Son of Man be lifted up." So that serpent on the pole was a type of Christ. It was a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. It was a foreshadow of if they look to that serpent, they can expect what? Healing. Now let's hammer home on this because now we got to run into the New Testament, right? Turn over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. So we're building a case in the Old Testament was healing for all of them in the Old Testament. So now let's look at Isaiah 53 and see if we can, if this scripture will nail it for us. Okay. If I'm presenting a case, this is my final bit of evidence. Amen. Is everyone there? Okay. Let's turn over to Psalm 53 and I'm going to read verses 1-5. Notice what he says. He says, "Who hath believed our report? And whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are what? Healed. Now, Isaiah the prophet was prophesying to Israel about the coming Messiah. See, so all Israel knew that these were the attributes of the coming Messiah. Up until that time, Moses' example of the serpent on the brass pole was a foreshadow of Jesus. As they looked to that serpent on that pole, they received what? Healing. God revealed himself in the Old Testament as Jehovah who? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Here, now God is forecasting that a Messiah is coming. The promised Messiah is coming. And he is going to carry not only our sins, not only our burdens, but what else? Our sicknesses, okay? So now, for the Old Testament, would you agree, in the Old Testament, healing was for all? Would you agree? Did I prove that to you, right? So there's no such, in the Old Testament, they had a covenant right, they came to God, they obeyed God, they received what? Their healing, right? Now, let's turn over to the New Testament. Are you ready for the New Testament? All right, good, let's go. Turn to Mark chapter 1, the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. You know, I really love reading the whole Word of God. In the Old Testament, we see shadows and types of Christ. We see shadows of the promises, okay? So there's no such thing as, oh, well, we're in the New Testament, we're New Covenant, we don't need the Old. No, we get instruction, we see examples, and there are biblical principles that are still inactive, okay? That are still active, okay? The Old Covenant, the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law has been done away. Remember when Jesus said, it is finished? That was done away. But healing wasn't done away. Everyone got that? Tithing was not done away, okay? So let's go. Everyone at Mark? Okay, good. Mark chapter 1. And let's pick up at verse 40. And there came a leper unto him, unto Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou will, thou can make me clean. Verse 41. And Jesus did what? Moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, what? I will, be thou clean. Now, Jesus could not give any other response to that leper because that leper came asking. He recognized who Jesus was, right? They that come to God must believe that he is and that he's what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So that leper came in faith. Okay, I don't want to dismiss faith from here. That leper said, if you will, you can make me clean, right? And that's why Jesus had to tell him, I will be thou clean. And what happened? And as soon as he has spoken, immediately what? The leprosy departed from him. And what happened? He was clean, okay? Let's turn to another passage of scripture. Turn to Mark's Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, if you're taking notes, write these down. Now we're looking in the New Testament, is healing for all. Matthew chapter 8. Let's look at verse 16. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him, Jesus, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed some of them that were sick. A few of them that were sick. Those under Obamacare. Those on the HMO, he healed what? All of them that were sick. Now listen, look at it says, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled. Remember we talked about Isaiah 53? That it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah as a prophet, saying himself did what? Took our infirmities and bared our sicknesses. Now I want to camp there for a minute. If Jesus took my infirmities and bared my sicknesses, and I get a diagnosis of cancer. Who has cancer? Do I have cancer? No, I physically still have cancer. But here's what has to happen. I have to, remember, don't forget my benefit. I have to identify that Jesus bore this. So I don't have to bear it. You see that? This is where we miss the connection. Here's what we do. Doctor gives you a diagnosis. You got cancer. So now I'm bearing cancer. Oh, I got cancer. I'm agreeing with the doctor. I got cancer. The test, I got to go back for another test. We got to do chemo. We got to do all this because I got cancer. But here's what we should really be saying as believers. That cancer may be on your body. But you don't have to bear it. Why? Because he bore it. Who bore that cancer? Jesus. Over 2,000 years ago. So if he bore it, I don't have to bear it. Say that. If he bore it, I don't have to bear it. Now, once again, I'm saying this because I talk all the time to people that are sick, going through things, and I'm always, I want to get them to see, listen, don't try to, this is what some people don't understand about the message of faith and healing. Oh, I don't have cancer. Meanwhile, the doctor's, he got a, on his wrist, he's got cancer. I don't have cancer. I don't believe I have cancer. Whether you believe it or not, it's there. But what you have to do is take that fact and send it to the truth. The truth will always nullify a fact. The truth is, I don't have to bear this. Jesus bore it. Everyone see that? I want you to see that. Because the minute you do that, then you know what happens? You are agreeing with what God said. Amen? Everyone got that? Let's keep on moving. I just stopped for a moment because I felt that I needed to emphasize that point to someone here this afternoon. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. No, Matthew chapter 9. Let's go down the line. Matthew chapter 9, verse 39. Verse 35. Are you there? And Jesus went about the cities and villages doing what? Teaching in his synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing some that were sick. Every sickness and every disease. You got that? Every sickness and disease among who? The people. So let's go again. Now follow. I want you to follow this because we overlooked this. Jesus went about the cities and villages. What was he doing? Teaching in the synagogues. Okay? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, I want you to see, here's where we miss it. In the synagogue, he was teaching because he had to explain to them, because they had the scriptures talking about him. Remember, because Jesus went in every synagogue and he said the same thing, Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the pure, poor, to heal the sick, right? So now, here's what happened. In the synagogue, he was teaching. Teaching is explaining. Like right now, this is not a synagogue, this is a church. But I'm in here teaching. I'm explaining this to you. But the minute I walk out of here, I'm going to walk on 59. If I go on Route 59, I'm not going to start explaining and teaching things to people. I'm proclaiming. Proclaiming. Preaching is proclaiming. Preaching is declaring Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the healer. But Jesus didn't stop there. In the synagogue, he was teaching. In the public, he was proclaiming. But in both, he was demonstrating. So when we minister healing, we're demonstrating the power of God. And that's what's been missing a lot of times in churches. A lot of times in our walk. We talk a good talk. But we're not demonstrating. We have to demonstrate. See, here's what it is. I don't heal a person. I never healed a person in my life. You're never going to heal a person in your life. But here's what's going to happen. God's going to use you because he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick. And what's going to happen? They'll recover. I went into a nursing home and I told the guy there, I was going to visit one of our people, but one of our people wasn't too responsive. He was complaining, oh, you know, they don't treat me right here. They don't like me. They out to get me, you know, and I'm trying to say, okay, don't worry about it. It's okay. You know, I'm bringing him back on the word. So anyway, I'm talking to him about the promises of healing, right? But all of a sudden, I notice over here, a guy on his wheelchair, he's riding by this way. I'm in the day room, right? So the guy wheeling back and forth, but I'm still talking. I'm teaching him, but also I'm proclaiming. I'm saying, listen, Jesus is the healer. He's healed you. Like I said here, you don't have to bear it. He bore it. And I'm reminding him of the scriptures. I'm trying to get him to rehearse the scriptures. And he's, fudging it, right? I said, no, come on, let's go. Let's go with the scripture. Keep on going. So meanwhile, this guy's with the wheelchair going by. So finally, he comes over to the table. He slides over the table. He says, can I sit here and listen? I said, yeah, sure, come on in. He's sitting there. Meanwhile, they got the TV going. The Price is Right is on. And it's big blaring in the whole place. And the whole place is filled with these, you know, elderly people, right? So anyway, I made a statement. And I said this, I said, listen, because the guy asked me, he says, you think God will heal me? That's what he said. You think God? I said, listen, brother, I know he will. I said, in fact, everybody I lay my hands on receives healing. place got quiet. No, I'm saying, I didn't realize, I'm just talking to this other guy. Forget about our guy that I was visiting, because he already zoomed out, but this guy I'm talking to, all of a sudden, TV was off, everybody around the table, everybody want to see a demonstration. So what I did was I laid my hands on him. I said, in the name of Jesus and the authority that I have that he's given me, I speak to this, and that's another lesson for another time, gifts of healings and things moving on. And I spoke that condition. His eyes popped open that I knew it, and he didn't know it. He didn't tell me it. And I just said, do you believe you receive? And he looked at me. I said, do you believe you receive? He looked at me. I said, do you believe you receive? He said, I don't know, man. I just feel something. I don't know. I said, no, do you believe that you... He said, yeah, I believe I received. So the next month I went back there, he was gone. He was out of the place. The point I'm making is this. Jesus went about demonstrating, right? Now let's get back to our lesson. I don't know why I veered off again. We got a few more minutes. Now, let's look at this. Turn to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, look at verse 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, right? It was deformed. And he asked him, saying, now listen, he asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, these are the religious folks. I want to talk about Jesus versus the religious folks, right? They see the man with the withered hand, so they're asking Jesus. They came over to Jesus, not the man with the withered hand, the religious leaders. They're saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? Remember, they were hearing about him, right? That they might accuse him. They're looking for something to get him on, right? But listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if he falls into the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out? So he's telling them, he said, listen, you're asking me that question. I'm going to ask you this one. On the Sabbath day, if one of your sheep fell into a ditch, wouldn't you go pick him up, pull him out? Then he goes on again. He says, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. So he answered their question. But notice, now Jesus is going to demonstrate. And then he said to the man, he turned over to the man. He says, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. And the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Look at verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, once again, word of knowledge, he withdrew himself from thence. And what happened? Great multitudes followed him. And he did what? Healed them all. He healed them all. Even when they were trying to get him in a religious, catch 22 there, he answered their question, healed the man, and went away. And the people were following him. And what did he do? He healed them all. All right? Let's turn to another passage. Are you ready? Turn back to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. So the question is healing for all? And we're looking at it in the New Testament. So far we're seeing, right, with Jesus, healing for all, right? Mark chapter 6, look at verse 56. And listen to what it says. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or countries, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought that he might just touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as did what? Touched him were what? Made whole. So everybody that came and touched Jesus' garment, the crowd was so big as he's walking through, because he wore the linen garment, and if they just touched it, they were made whole. Everyone that touched it was made whole, okay? Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I'm building a case here. I want you to see this. I want your faith to rise to the point that if you need healing, you know how to give it. But if you know someone that's in need of healing, you know how to minister it to them. Amen? All right, is everyone there? Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, like it is now, and all that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And he did what? Lay his hands on what? Every one of them. And he did what? Heal them. So I was saying the same thing Jesus said. Everybody I lay my hands on receives healing. I want you to say that with me right now. Say, everybody that I lay my hands on receives healing. Look at your hands right now and say that. Say, everyone that I lay these hands on receives healing. Amen? Okay, good. Let's keep on moving. You got that? Turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I got to wind this up. Well, I don't know. How it goes quick here. I don't know. Dan speeds up their clock. No, he doesn't. Verse 11. Are you there? This is 9:11. And the people, when they knew it, they did what? Followed him. He did what? Received them. And what did he do? He spake unto them the kingdom of God. So in other words, he was preaching unto them the kingdom of God. And did what? Healed them that had need of healing. You see that? Now, let's keep on going to another one. Are you ready? Look at verse 6, Luke 6, 9. Luke 6:19. I'm sorry. Are you there? Luke 6:19. This wasn't just an isolated thing with Jesus. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went what? Virtue out from him and did what? Heal them all. So in other words, that virtue was the anointing. The healing anointing, as Jesus was ministering, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. That virtue, that anointing, everyone that touched him, they received their healing. Amen? Are you seeing the picture here? Now, let's move it. Now, some people would say, well, you know, that was just Jesus. And, you know, Jesus is not here. You know, when he was, it was part of his miracles and part of his ministry. Turn to Hebrews 13, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, 3. Turn to Hebrews 13:3. I got to find it myself. Hebrews 13:3. I'm not 13:3. I'm sorry, 13:8. Hebrews 13:8. I apologize. Hebrews 13:8. Are you there? Read it with me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in other words, what that means, Jesus Christ yesterday was in the past, right? Jesus Christ today, right now, present time, and Jesus Christ forever. That means in the future, he's the same. Did Jesus heal everybody? Did everybody that came to him receive healing? Okay, now what I want to do in our final minutes, turn over to Mark chapter 16. Because see, here's what people say. Well, that was Jesus. That was Jesus, not us. You know, Jesus, after all, he was the Son of God. But here's where people miss it. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus is now giving what we call the Great Commission, right? He says this unto them, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall do what? Cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall do what? Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So I want to ask you this question tonight as we close. In the Old Testament, we found out that healing was for everyone, right? Let me ask you that tonight. Is healing in the New Testament, where we are right now, is healing for everyone? Everyone can receive it, right? Amen. So now what we're going to do, because we know this, we have this information, we are going to go confidently and boldly declaring, decreeing, and demonstrating healing is God's will for everyone. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for this lesson that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for these, your people, your servants. Father, I thank you that by the Holy Spirit and by remembrance, stirring up the reminder of who we are in Christ, that healing is for everyone. Father, give us the wisdom, give us the wherewithal to minister, to be able to those that need explaining, we explain. To those that need it proclaimed, let us proclaim. And to those that need a demonstration, give us the boldness to demonstrate. Because you said in this scripture, you said in verse 20, and the Lord went with them, working with them, confirming the word. So, Father, I thank you that you work with us by agency of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. We thank you for what you're going to do in the days ahead. As we hear messages like this, those that are in need of healing, they can receive. Those of us who are here, conduits of your word, how we can minister it. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.